In our topic of discussion today is entitled Things Christians Should Not Be Ashamed Of. Things that Christians should not be ashamed of. Let's turn to the scriptures together right now. We're going to begin in Isaiah chapter 50 with me. Isaiah chapter 50 as our starting point for our study today on things Christians should not be ashamed of. Isaiah chapter 50 and verse number 7. We read, "For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed." We have all done things in our lives that we're ashamed of. Things we would like ourselves and others to forget. In our study today, I want us to look at some things as Christians we should not be ashamed of. And to help you remember these things, they all begin with the letter S. The first thing as Christians we should not be ashamed of is salvation or the gospel of Christ. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Romans. The book of Romans. And in the book of Romans, in chapter number 1 and verse 16, Paul the Apostle, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writes to the Romans, the believers at the church at Rome, and he says in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Now, he was talking about the gospel of Christ, which is the power of salvation. Well, the gospel of Christ, Paul defines for us very clearly over in the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter number 15. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, as we begin in verse number 1, Paul says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you." He's declaring unto them the gospel that he preached to them, to the church at Corinth. He said, "Which also you have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also you are saved," he says. This is the gospel that saves, amen. He says, "By which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain." And he says, "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received." Now he received this, amen, from the Lord, how that Christ died for our sins, number one, according to the scriptures, very important, according to the scriptures, Paul says, not according to tradition of man or commandments of man or something that I've thought up, but according to the scriptures, according to the word of God. He says, so Christ died for our sins. This is part number one of the gospel, according to the scriptures, that he was buried, number two, and that he arose again, number three, the third day, according to the scriptures. What is the gospel of Christ? The death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is the power of God unto salvation. Amen. In other words, it is the only way a person can be saved. It's the only thing that saves. Amen. You know, the Bible tells us it's only through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, receiving that by faith and trusting in that alone, that will save you, that will pay for the payment of your sins. My dear friend, people are trusting in a lot of things other than the Lord Jesus Christ to get them to heaven. Oh, they're trusting in their religious denomination. Amen. They're trusting because they're a good Baptist or a good Catholic or a good Methodist or a good Buddhist. Amen. But the Bible clearly tells us only Jesus Christ. Amen. Only the gospel of Christ. I am not ashamed of the gospel. Amen. He says, Paul declares in Romans chapter 1, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Only the gospel of Christ. That's why he's not ashamed. He says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel for Christ." And the reason he wasn't, he says, "For it is the power of God unto salvation." The only way a person can be saved is through the gospel of Christ. And they have to believe, for it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." Amen. Praise the Lord for that. The gospel of Christ is not just for one particular person or people. It's for everyone that believeth, amen, that Christ died for their sins according to the Scriptures, was buried, and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. My dear friend, people are trusting in their good works. The Bible doesn't say that, to trust in your good works to be saved, to be born again. People are trusting in their water baptism, either being sprinkled as an infant or totally immersed in water, amen? That doesn't save. It's the gospel of Christ. And nowhere in the gospel of Christ are anything these mention good works, amen? Being baptized, trusting in your religious denomination, keeping the golden rules or the Ten Commandments. No, the gospel of Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation, is simply that Christ died for our sins. According to the Scriptures, he was buried and arose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. That's the only thing that saves, my dear friend. Amen. You know, what's interesting, however, is many Christians today act as if they're ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because when it comes to witnessing of its saving power, a lot of Christians become like the Arctic River does, frozen at the lips. You know, Christians were very good at talking about many other things, amen, be it sports or politics, or ladies, maybe it's recipes, amen. And there's really nothing wrong with being sociable, amen. But remember, none of that's going to help a person's eternity. The only thing that's going to help a person when it comes to eternity, amen, is the Lord Jesus Christ, his death, amen, his burial, amen, his resurrection, amen. That's the only thing, amen. Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, that's the only thing that saves a person, amen. We shouldn't be ashamed of that, because it is the power of God's salvation to everyone that believeth, amen. Everyone can get in if they'll only believe that Christ died. He died for their sins, according to the Scriptures, was buried, and arose again the third day, amen. Now, the second thing we want to look at is that Christians should not be ashamed of not only salvation, but also the Savior, amen, the Savior. Let's turn to Romans chapter 10 and verse 11 for just a moment. In Romans chapter 10, notice with me what it says in verse number 11 of Romans 10. The Bible says, "For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him," and of course the him here is the Lord Jesus Christ, "shall not be ashamed." Amen? Should not be ashamed. Not only we should not be ashamed of him now, but in eternity. Amen? When we stand before God, we will not be ashamed because on whom we have believed. Amen? There are going to be a lot of people that stand before Almighty God someday, and they're going to be ashamed. Amen? Because they did not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. They did not believe in the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ to save them. Amen. God's going to show them how many a times he gave them an opportunity to be saved. How maybe they were under the preaching of the Word of God, and they rejected the Word of God because of their cold and wicked heart. Or maybe they rejected a Christian handing them a gospel tract that had the written Word of God and the plan of salvation on it, and how they could get saved. Amen. in Romans chapter 8, in verse number 1, Paul the Apostle gives us a great promise of Scripture concerning the Christian, the person that's been born again, that's trusted on Christ to save them. He says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." See, there's no condemnation. We are not, if you're born again, if you trusted the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ to save you, and nothing else, amen, then there's no condemnation. You will not stand before Almighty God and be found guilty. Because if you've trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, what happens is Jesus Christ's righteousness is put on your account. So when God the Father sees you, all he does is he sees you covered in the blood. You've been made righteous by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Look at in 1 Thessalonians with me. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 with me. In 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1, in verse 10, notice what it says to us here, the Bible. It says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10, "And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." See, we're not going to be ashamed in the judgment day. We're going to be delivered from God's wrath, amen. You know, the next prophetic event on God's calendar in the very near future, amen, is that he's going to come for the body, the church of Christ. It's made up of all believers, all that have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection to save them, the church, the body of Christ, each believer, amen. He's going to take up, catch up, rapture out of this church, and there's going to be great wrath to come after that during the seven-year tribulation, amen, where the Antichrist will come on the scene and deceive mankind. There'll be wrath to pay then, and there'll be also wrath to be paid at the great white throne judgment. Those who have never received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, have rejected the gospel of Jesus Christ, will stand before that great white throne judgment someday. But we will not be ashamed, amen. We should never be ashamed of our Savior now, or shame. Well, we will not be ashamed in eternity to come, amen, because of the Savior and what he's done for us, amen. Now, the third thing that we want to look at that Christians should not be ashamed of is suffering. Is suffering. Look at with me in the first epistle of Peter in chapter number 4 with me. Remember, our study today, our topic is things as Christians we should not be ashamed of. Notice with me in 1 Peter chapter number 4 what it says in verse number 16. It says, "Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf." We should not be ashamed. Amen. When we suffer as Christians. And the reason for that is because it glorifies God. You want to glorify God in this body, this wicked body, amen, then take it, amen. I'm reminded of what the Apostle Paul said over there in 2 Timothy in chapter number 3 in verse 12. He said, yes, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. In other words, it's certain. If you're living for Christ, if you're doing what you should be doing and living a godly life, you're going to suffer for Jesus Christ, amen. You can bet the farm on it, amen. Notice with what we see here in 1 Peter chapter 4. In verses 12 and 13, Peter writes to the believers. He writes this. He says, "Beloved, Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. You know, I think sometimes as Christians we have the attitude is, you know, why do we have to go through this? Why do we have to suffer, amen? You know, and we sometimes think it's strange. But Peter says, don't think it's strange. It's part of being a Christian. It's part of living a godly life. You know, if you're living for God, you're going to suffer. Amen. You're going to suffer. It shouldn't be strange. Don't think it's strange that it's happening to you. Amen. It should be happening to you if you're a Christian. Amen. Remember, Jesus said, the world, because it hated me, is going to hate you. Amen. And it persecuted and crucified our Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. And it's going to do the same thing to you, this wicked world, amen. If you're truly living for Christ, this world hates Christ, amen. The God of this world is none other than Satan, amen. And he's everything opposite of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. So you got to expect to suffer, amen. Don't think it's strange. Look at in verse 13 of 1 Peter chapter 4. It says, but rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. What it tells us here, we should not be ashamed when we suffer as a Christian. Not only does it glorify God, but when he comes, when he returns, amen, we are going to rejoice. We're going to have exceeding joy because we suffered for Christ. What a blessing that is. And I think the problem with us as Christians is we tend to look at the temporal or the visible instead of the eternal and is invisible, amen. We think the suffering that we're going through now as a Christian, amen, is never going to end, amen. But it will someday. And when it does, when the Lord returns, amen, we're going to be joyful. You're going to be glad that you suffered for the Lord, amen. So we should not be ashamed when we suffer as a Christian, amen. Notice what it says also in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter number 8 with me. Romans 8. Romans chapter 8, in verse number 18, Paul tells us, he says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Now, because we suffer, amen, we're going to see glory is going to be revealed in us when the Lord comes. And what Paul is saying, whatever suffering that we're going through down on this earth, compared to the glory that will be revealed in us, it's just a drop in the bucket. It's like a one grain on all the sands of the beaches of the world put together, amen. That's what he says. You know, and I think sometimes we, again, in the flesh, have a tendency to forget that. And we often throw a pity party. Woe is me. Why is God picking on me? Why is this happening? Amen. Amen. And of course, a lot of times we suffer not because God's putting us through a trial or testing, but because of something that we've done. You know, a lot of suffering we bring on ourselves, do we not? Amen. We get into situations we shouldn't. We're disobedient to God. There's a lot of suffering that we don't have to go through. Amen. If we were only trust and be obedient to the Lord. Amen. But I'm talking about the suffering that comes as a result of living a godly life. Sold out to God. People know where you stand and how you stand. Amen. You know, there's no contradiction in your walk. There's no question of where you stand. When people see you and they see your talk and your walk, they know that you are on the Lord's side. and there's nothing that they can do to get you to compromise. Amen? You know, that's what we need today. That's what God needs, is people that are sold out to Him, that won't compromise. You know, that won't be like Esau. Amen? And Esau, we know, sold his birthright. Amen? For a bowl of bean soup and some bread. Amen? How easily Christians sell out, do they not? You know, we're fortunate as Christians. We cannot lose our salvation. Amen? We're eternally saved. Amen? But I'll tell you, there's a lot of Christians that are going to be ashamed when they stand at the judgment seat of Christ. And the Lord shows them the opportunities they had to make a stand and suffer for Him and the rewards that they would have gotten. Amen. So, as Christians, we should not be ashamed to suffer. Amen. As Christians, for being Christians, for living godly life. It brings glory to God. There'll be exceeding great joy when the Lord returns. Also, glory will be revealed in us as a result of suffering for Christ. Now, one last thing I want to look at about why we should not be ashamed when we suffer as a Christian. Looking in 2 Timothy with me, in 2 Timothy chapter number 2, Paul writes to Timothy something very, very interesting here, and I want to point this out as we connect it with suffering. Notice what it says in 2 Timothy, chapter number 2, in verse number 12. It says, if we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He also will deny us. Now, of course, people will use this verse, take it out of context, and teach that you can lose your salvation, amen, if we deny the Lord, amen. But it says, if we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. Now, as a result, I think the Bible is clearly telling us here, as a result of living here on this earth and suffering for Christ, one of the benefits is going to be we'll be able to reign with Him. Now, we know that Christ will reign for 1,000 years, amen, during the millennium that immediately comes after the 7-year tribulation. So what I see here in the scriptures, and the scriptures is telling us clearly that if you suffer now, you'll reign with Him later on during that 1,000-year reign. You know, the problem with most Christians today is they don't want the cross. They just want the crown without the cross. And my dear friend, you know, Jesus could have had that crown without the cross, and if He did, we'd be in a world of hurt. Each and every one of us would be either on the way to a sinner's hell to burn for time and eternity, amen, or there right now. Now, notice the second part of that verse in 2 Timothy, chapter number 2 and verse number 12. We read this again, if we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He also will deny us. Now, what this is talking about, if we don't suffer, and by not suffering for Christ, amen, by living a godly life, if we don't do that, if we compromise and go along with the ways of the world and so forth and so on, amen, then what's going to happen is He's going to deny us reigning with Him during the millennium. I don't know exactly what those Christians will be doing. While those are reigning with Christ, there'll be some that won't. I don't know if they'll be just sitting on their hands or whatever they're going to be, but I know they'll be ashamed. I believe they'll be ashamed. So that's why, as Christians, we should not be ashamed when we suffer as a Christian. Now, the last thing I want to look at is, as a Christian, we should not be ashamed at the second coming. We should not be ashamed at the second coming. I believe there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be ashamed at the second coming. Notice what it says in the first general epistle to John in chapter number 2 in verse number 28 with me. 1 John chapter 2 in verse number 28, we read, And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Amen. I think there are going to be many Christians that are going to be ashamed at his coming. Why? Because they did not live for him, and they know that. Amen. They did not occupy, and as the Bible tells us, to occupy till he comes. Amen. You know, Paul the Apostle tells us that there's a reward or a crown, amen, for those that love his appearing. Amen. He tells us in 2 Timothy chapter number 4, 2 Timothy 4, he says in verse 7, you know, he was looking forward to the time the Lord would call him a home, that is, that his work would be done on earth. He says, I have fought a good fight, or in verse 6, and actually 2 Timothy chapter 4, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. He was ready now to be sacrificed, to be killed, amen, for the work of Christ. He says, the time of my departure is at hand, the time that he was going to be with the Lord, amen. His death was at hand. He said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And he goes on and he says in verse 8, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. So there's a crown of righteousness for those that look for, that can't wait for the Lord's appearing, that love his appearing. Amen. But like I said, there are going to be many Christians, I believe, that will be shamed. I hope it won't be you at the second coming. Amen. I know they'll be at the second coming. The Lord comes. I know that he'll find some Christians standing in the line to buy a lottery ticket to, you know, maybe win $50 or $60 million. Amen. And they'll be ashamed when they hear the trump of God and the shout to come up hither. Amen. There'll be some sitting in front of the television, amen, with a six-pack, downing some Coors Light or whatever it is, whatever brand of beer it may be, watching the Super Bowl, amen? Amen to that, amen? There'll be Christians fornicating, committing adultery when the Lord comes, when the trump of God sounds, amen, and there's a great shout to come up hither. Oh, my goodness. Boy, they're going to be ashamed, amen. But we should not be ashamed, amen. We should not be ashamed at the second coming. We should be looking forward to the second coming, amen, and praise the Lord that he is returning, that he hasn't forgotten about us. I know a lot of people have given up, but the Bible says he's coming, and because the Word of God says he's coming, I know that he's coming. Now look at what it says also in 1 John chapter 3, in verse 3 and 4. He says, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So we're going to be like the Lord Jesus Christ when he comes. Now, notice what it says. Because of all of this, because we know he's coming, because we know that we're going to see him and we're going to be like him, notice in verse 4 of verse 3, in every man that hath this hope, amen, that the Lord's coming for him, that we'll see him and we'll be like him, every man that has this hope, amen, in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. So this believing that the Lord's appearing, longing for it, looking for it, loving it, knowing that we're going to see him and be like him, keeps us pure while we wait for him. Amen. So in our study of things Christians should not be ashamed of, we should not be ashamed of, number one, salvation, the gospel of Christ, because it is the power of God of salvation to everyone that believeth. We should not be ashamed of the Savior, number two, not only not ashamed of him now, but in eternity, amen, because we will not come under the condemnation of Almighty God. Number three, we saw that we should not be ashamed to suffer, because it brings glory to God, and there'll be great joy when he returns because we suffered, and that there'll be glory revealed in us because we've suffered, and that we'll reign with Christ during the millennial reign for 1,000 years. And then we saw lastly that we should not be ashamed at the second coming, amen. In fact, just because we know it's going to happen, we're going to be like him, we're going to see him, it should be enough, this hope, to keep us pure and to live a pure life for him. Amen.